B-Pod Studios.
4:30, Mike Mussinelli Show. No Twitter poll today. And the Twitter poll, of course, every day is brought to us by Paul B. Moore and Sons, but too important of a topic to talk about the passing of Kobe Bryant. We're touching base with people whose lives he touched, and our next guest shared a lot with him. NBA experience, Philly basketball experience, of course, the great product of Cardinal Doherty and University of Rhode Island, and a lot of teams in the NBA. He was a star player. Ketino Mobley joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Cat, how you doing, buddy?
I'm hanging in there. It's a tough one for me right now for a lot of different reasons, but, you know, you got to keep moving, I guess.
Let's talk about the paths you crossed with Kobe. Obviously, you're a couple years older, but I assume that you played in the same circles, pickup games, whatever, AAU circuit. Tell me when you first encountered Kobe.
Kobe's 4 years, three, 4 years younger than me. So we've always been around each other, you know, since about 14, 15 years old. So, you know, Kobe's a Virgo, I'm a Virgo. His birthday's August 23rd, mine's September 1st. Both being Virgos, both being very detailed, and becoming maniacs when we love something. Very job-oriented. I think there's, out of the all the people that did help me in life, from my coach Ludlow to coach Heimerdinger to my guys who were Cardinal Doherty, there's two people for me that stuck out. The older I got was my stepfather, who believed in me that I can play in the pros, and watching Kobe's work ethic. I think that for me stamped the approval of you can do this. And you know, there's a lot of guys I watched in the NBA, but I always was obsessed to watch Kobe's presentation. I always obsessed to watch Kobe's play, his effort, everything he did. And for me, it you know, I'm a spiritual person. I'm not a religious person. So, you know, there's moments now where I question, you know, the universe, because not only Kobe, but my other best friend, Rasul Butler, passed away 5 days, you know, now 4 days, January 31st, 2 years ago. So, you know, for those two guys passing away in January, 2 years apart, for me is a tough one. But you know, just what we've given to each other, and to keep each other motivated and pushing through life, and being the best father, being the best friend, being the best husband or boyfriend or whatever it is that we can be through our very chaotic life, you know, you need each other for that. And, you know, I think the universe has taken a person that, you know, for not just myself, because, you know, it's not about me. It's about his three little girls he left behind with his wife. It's just so many different things that, you know, you don't even have an answer for, you know, and that's what I grieve for most, because my daughter, I sat and looked at her face last night while she was sleeping. And, you know, it's just a very tough moment.
Ketino, you obviously in the NBA, you battle a lot. 11 years of Western Conference while you're playing against him, and you're probably guarding him. He's guarding you. Tell me what that was like.
Well, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get the best, so you have to bring it, you know. And, you know, for Kobe and I, you know, growing up same city, you have the love and respect for each other. And Kobe always respected people that competed, you know, because he wanted to be at the highest level, and he was at the highest level. So, you know, he respected the person who's going to fight against him. So, you know, you can test yourself, and that's what life is about. You want competition in whatever it is that you do. You know, and playing against Kobe, he brought that out of you. You know, and I'm pretty sure he brought that out of a lot of other of our peers, and that's why they're heartbroken, because, you know, he leaves us at a very young age when he's about to accomplish so many amazing things off the court that a lot of us can look up to as well. You know, it's a very selfish thing that the universe has done, because you have someone who dedicated his life. God has given this man a talent, and he gave the universe and the people the best he could. He left it all on the court, and the universe gave him back 8 years. That's it. 8 years to make up for the sacrifice he's done for his family. To me, I can't swallow that one.
Your feelings are certainly understandable.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Can we go back a little bit in time? Did you guys play against each other in the early days before you got the NBA as Philadelphia high school star type players?
No, I was old. I was a little older, and I played in the Catholic League. Mm-hmm. So we would play. We would play more. St. Joe's or Augustine, mm-hmm. or places like that. But not in high school. He would play with Ross. He played against Rasul Butler in high school, or Ryan Preston in high school, a lot of guys like that. But as far as me being in Catholic League, we didn't play against each other in high school at all.
What I'm getting to, I guess, is that there was this, I always thought he felt this thing that he was a suburban kid as opposed to a hardcore Philadelphia kid. And that motivated him even more. Have you ever talked to guys that experienced that with him and why he wanted to go the extra mile to prove that he wasn't soft?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a lot of us. It doesn't even matter if he was from the suburbs or not. There's a lot of guys that are, one thing you have to understand is just because you're from the neighborhood, that don't mean you're from the hood. I'm from the neighborhood. I'm not from the hood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of us that want to prove ourselves not only to our peers of Philadelphia, but to our that we are tough. And Kobe used that type of motivation. And he used anything he could use, right? Like all of us, and mm-hmm. whoever wants to be great in life, you have to use these little things. Kobe definitely used that, and it got him to another level. And then, and believing in himself was the big thing.
Did you guys talk to each other on the court? Both very competitive guys. You're guarding each other, getting each other's grill. Can you tell me any stories along those lines?
Well, it wasn't. We never really talked junk to each other.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot of respect. So, I can't give you stories of any of these trash talkings. I'm not going to make anything up. It was a lot of love.
He felt kind of a kindred spirit with you with that Philly thing. I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like a brother passing for me. So, I have to get myself together mm-hmm. and figure out exactly what kind of memories, which all of them were amazing, that mm-hmm. I can really, because I have a lot of different interviews I have to talk about.
Yeah.
And, I can really share with the rest of the world.
Yeah. That last question. You spent your last 4 years with the Clippers. At a time when, the Lakers, obviously, now it's a little bit different, but the Lakers, it was the Lake Show, it was Kobe, it was Magic in the background, it was Jerry West, the whole thing. What was that like to play? Like, was that Kobe's city, and did you feel that way?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he's the best Laker ever. He's the best Laker ever. You got to realize, the last 20 years, people grew up around Kobe and kind of passing that torch from a Magic, Shaq to Kobe Bryant, and then Kobe proved that, he can do it without Shaquille O'Neal, even though that's the most dominant player ever, you know, and just walking around when I first signed with the Clippers in 2005, you know, you knew it was Kobe City. You knew it was a Laker city. So, I mean, you got a guy 17 years old that's coming into Colin Hurd said this, he played more years than being a Laker than he was not a Laker. So, I mean,
yeah.
He literally grew up, he grew up, you know, as a baby, basically, in front of everybody else's eyes. And it was such a microscope, and he held it, you know, to the best of his ability.
Coutinho, listen, man, we really appreciate you coming on. Thanks a lot. And, you know, I understand this is a very emotional day for you and for all who knew. So we appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Coutinho Mobley on the Comcast Business Hotline, a very good NBA player. He averaged 16 points a game for his career in the NBA. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, good player. And you know, he's
a scrappy, hard-nosed player.
And he mentioned looking up to him some, even though Kobe was younger. Kobe, obviously, that 96 draft. Mobley goes to the prep school, like you mentioned, goes to Rhode Island, gets drafted in 98. So he actually comes in the league, even though he's older, Kobe.
Yeah. He shot 38% from three, 46% overall.
Now he can hoop.
Nice player.
Coutinho was a good player.
All right, 610-632-0975. We'll come back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.